Up first on the program, so happy to welcome back a terrific and talented comedian, one of the funniest people in the world out there. He is back on tour with his Off the Rails tour, which comes to New England for a trio of shows starting in Concord, New Hampshire on March 10th. His special, his latest, is a Grammy Award nominee called Thanks for Risking Your Life. We are pleased to be joined once again on Downtown by Lewis Black. Lewis, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a few years. It was back in the before times when last you were with us.
Yes, back when it was fun.
Well, it's got to be fun to be back out on the road after a long absence. You've said Zoom comedy just doesn't quite work.
No, not for me. It did for some folks. I don't know how. There's certain roads. It was one of the other roads to madness. I mean, sitting there staring at a group of squares. I did a few things in terms of talk Q&A Zooms, which were okay. But there's just a sense of, you know, it's weird. It was just too weird. It's nuts. There's a glitch in terms of the time frame of them laughing, the whole thing. It's, you know, and they're not hearing, you know, it's just not a live audience in that sense.
Well, I would think with timing being such an important part of comedy that those fractional delays would just mess everything up.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch, when you were watching, late shows now, and some of the folks don't come on, you know, and they're on a screen. And I've done this too, you know, in terms of radio from time to time when certain radio shows where there's an audience. But they're, you know, they, you know, the person they're being interviewed is on a screen and they're talking, and then you can tell they don't hear the laugh until, so the whole beats are off. And it just becomes stranger, you know. It's an out of body experience.
Well, addition to the live shows, you're back doing the Rantcast, the post show rants. That's good for everybody to get a chance to purge once again. We've needed that these last couple of years.
Well, that's been really. I'm really glad I finally got back to that. It took a while to get it was about getting back into shape. I thought, you know, as I was starting to get back on the road finally and getting things going, I thought, you know, next time, really, if I was going to choose to do stand up, I would do it on a gurney with an IV drip, just lying down. Because, you know, I'm doing an hour show, then I come back and do a different. Because it's really a different show reading those rants. And but it's been really great. The stuff that's coming in is terrific, and it allows us to get a rant cast out each week, and it allows us to do the live stream. And people were on the West Coast, so it turns out people were in Australia were watching us at brunch, you know, and so it was like. You know, like a show from Monterey, California, which is great. And it was all about Monterey or all about Reno. And the show will be all about Concord when I'm there, hopefully.
We're talking with Lewis Black on Downtown. The new special is great. Thanks for Risking Your Life. The story behind it is pretty interesting, too. This was the last show before the whole world shut down.
Yeah, it was. And it was really literally we got lucky. Tour manager grabbed some extra cameras, you know, in case to just record it in a better way. We have two cameras every night because of the rant cast, and so he added two more cameras. And it's not enough for us, you know, a special with bells and whistles, but it was enough to record it and get what I consider to be, you know, a historic. I thought it'd be a historical recording. Okay. I may not be known for anything else, but here was the last comic performing before before everything closed down. And it turned out to, I thought, to be a pretty interesting performance in the sense of there's an intimacy to that to that special that others don't. So I, at least, you know, so that was, I thought, really also the other interesting thing about it. And people seemed to like it. So that was nice. And then, you know, and I'm sure that people didn't, because it doesn't have those bells and whistles. Netflix wouldn't take it, and others wouldn't take it because it doesn't have all of the big, you know, we don't have cameras on the audience and stuff like that.
But you got a Grammy Award nomination, so it's basically you and Taylor Swift, right?
Yes, it's the two of us, and then we do a duet at the end of the Grammys. No, it was nice. I was shocked to get the nomination. I was really kind of stunned. That made me, you know, the recognition made me feel pretty good.
Well, and I think you've summed up what has gone wrong, right, depending on your perspective, with America. We sold our souls, but it was worth it to get two-day free shipping.
Yeah. Well, that was the key to it, because that literally was where that special started, when I figured, because it took a long time to try to come up with the opening to that show without, you know, because because people were coming in, some of them with chips on their shoulder, you know, about, you know, this is my president. Well, okay, well, nobody in the past 10, 15 years had come in with that. Not even Reagan was around. Nobody came in with that, you know, attitude. And so it was finding a way to diffuse some of that, you know, why we're happy, why we should be happy. Because I had the other half of the audience, one half was exuberantly thrilled for insane reasons, and the other half was exuberantly depressed for insane reasons. And so it was finding a middle ground where, what do we share together that makes us happy? It's two-day free shipping.
Well, yeah, and you've said you've had the right to criticize, because you've hated all the presidents, going back to, what, at least Eisenhower?
Oh, yeah, no, I've never been a big fan of you know, the presidents. You know, that's my gig. That's my job. My job is, I've always had trouble with authority. And so some presidents lend themselves to a couple more jokes. I mean, Clinton had a couple of things that were just, and not just the Monica thing, but, you know, he did his thing. You know, I took my took the state of Arkansas in terms of education from 50th to 49th. Well, you know, keep that a secret, jackass. You know, what did you do? You bought the kids pencils? I mean, it was that kind of stuff. So I always had stuff about them. And I wasn't doing anything more about him, about the new one, than I was the others. And so it was kind of ludicrous. And then they would keep yelling, well, how come you're not talking about Obama? And I said, well, first off, because he wasn't funny, jackass.
But you had a great line when the people ask you, was Trump good for comedy?
Yeah, in the way that a stroke is good for a nap. And literally, that was, you know, a chunk of what I was saying about him, and that was all I had to say. And that would still be, well, what do you mean? Well, that's what I mean. And I love that line.
Now,
it was really all that had to be said.
Right. Now, you grew up, as a lot of us did, at a time when, well, we looked up to science, schools were focused on science education. Where the hell did that go wrong, that now it's, we just believe a guy with a podcast or somebody on the internet rather than the scientific semi-professionals?
Well, here's the, I think, you know, what do I know? The 20%, and the more I think about it, the more it's that we think that that's what's going on. Well, it's about 25% of the American people think that way. Not, it's not a majority. So there's a group that have kind of always thought that way, and now have been given, due to social media, their platform, and it allows them, you know, kind of a big place, a bigger tent to speak in, you know, and so they do. But really, you know, that could, you know, somehow infect the rest of us to allow stuff to happen is crazy. You know, minority doesn't rule. That's the thing. It's a democracy. The majority of us, and then we try to protect minority rights as much as we can possibly do, as long as it doesn't, you know, screw things up. Mm. But you've kind of got to go, okay, well, You don't believe in, you know, I'm sorry you failed chem class.
Is there something we can all, if we can all be happy with two-day shipping, can everybody be pissed off about something?
Yeah, I read this thing in the Act where there's this person who's, it's difficult for me to describe, person says, but it's a legislator from Wyoming. And literally four years ago, this Wyoming legislator apparently had said that, used the fact that Jesus was killed by capital punishment as a reason for why we should have capital punishment. And I think we can all agree, I think, except for maybe her and maybe 10 others, we can all agree that's crazy.
I would say that's, yes. Say anybody who can't, I don't want to see them.
And that one, the other thing we agree on is that none of us would know how to argue with it.
Exactly.
You know, what would you say to her? I don't know what you say.
Hey, I loved you on Finding Your Roots with Henry Louis Gates.
Oh, thank you.
What was that experience like for you?
It was overwhelming. I mean, I said I felt like a 9-year-old. Wow. I just couldn't say wow enough. Wow. Really? Wow. So if I put iron filings and something else together and burn them, it'll smell like it'll smell like rotten eggs. Wow. That's everything he said. I was just kind of like overwhelmed. I've never really been at a loss for words, and I was, because it's overwhelming to see, you know, your grandfather's, you know, signature in a log on a ship, or on a piece of paper on Ellis Island, or you know, applying for citizenship. I mean, it was remarkable. Or the boat he came on. I mean, you just, yeah. Everything, every time you turn the page, you go, oh my God. Because I hadn't seen it. And a lot of it, they just, my parents weren't, you know, I had old pictures and stuff that I'd seen. But these were like, there was nothing, except for my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, there was not, and trying to get info from them, the stories just got lost in the mist. Mm. And so this really was stunning. And then part of it is you kind of wanted to go, could we do this as a 6-week series? Because I'd like to ask about this one and this one.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable how much stuff they find.
Speaking of your family, you posted a picture a couple of weeks ago with your mother. How's she doing?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, she's hanging in. We don't really get to talk much because she can't. She's 103, as you know, and so talking on the phone is rough. You know, she's not, you know, it's like for most of us, you know, she's not texting, but I said, you know, we can get a thing where I can see you and we can talk. She said, no, I don't want to do that. And a lot of it has to do with hearing and just concentration. But otherwise, if I'm with her, and others who, you know, and occasionally if you catch her on the right day, you know, she's right with you and can go on and on and on.
I have an 8-year-old, and I want to thank you for helping to educate him, because this was back, I think, last summer. He had a little buddy in the house, and they went in my little space, and I heard a familiar voice, and they were playing with my Lewis Black bobblehead.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say Inside Out. That's really horrifying.
That's good. It expanded his vocabulary.
I bet it did. I'm sure Mom was thrilled.
Yeah, he's got a lot more respect from his peers on the playground now. I work, Lewis, with high school theater kids, and you've written a number of plays through the years. What would be the best Lewis Black play that I could have my high schoolers take on?
Well, it depends. I don't think you can do it. The best one is a thing called The Deal, which is a one act.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one act play, but it's got some references that might still be too rugged. But but literally, I wrote it 40 years ago, and it reads as if I wrote it last Thursday.
Well, if I remember, and I've read that play before, if I remember, there's a there are a couple characters in there that well resemble some people that are still on the big stage.
Yes, there are.
And
they don't go away.
I love the way they
gone, there'll be others.
I love the way they seal the deal.
Huh?
I love the way they seal their deal.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the one that kids, I think kids would love that. And I don't think that anything that I say in that is too much for a kid to deal with. And especially since we live in this whole culture too of, you know, the thing that seals partly what makes the deal so enticing is that, you know, it's that the guy can get a chef to cook for the other guy, you know, and that's the kind of where we are. You know, it's the great chefs of the Western world. We, you know, it's, we'll get back to that, but I think, but it's, you know, there were, you know, before the pandemic, I mean, there were anywhere you went in the country, anywhere, there was now like two truly great restaurants anywhere. Duluth.
Mm.
Open till 10. I mean, you just kind of went, wow, look at what's happened. So I was kind of pleased with that, that play. It's, and then there, and any of the, actually the, one slight hitch to full length would work in a high school without breaking a sweat. And it's because it's all kids.
You touched on something though, and I think that's really where we are, whether it's the former guy in charge or any number of these people. There's always a new one to come along. We think we're rid of the problem, but somebody always steps in to fill that void because nature abhors a vacuum.
Yes, there is. There's always somebody else. And I said it's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
You can knock and get one out, and then there's another. I mean, but you know, and right now, you look at it, you go, so this is where we are. We're in the midst of all of this, and we've got one guy whose face is orange, and he wants to be the president. We got the other guy is the ghost of Christmas past. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Lewis Black will be appearing three dates here in New England coming up in March. The 10th at the Chubb Theater in Concord, New Hampshire. The 11th at the Emerson in Boston, and at the Vets in Providence on March 12th. Lewis, thank you so much for making time for us today. We wish you good luck out there on the road and with the rants, and keep on doing what you're doing. We need it more than ever.
I need you to say, and I really appreciate your time. It was a lot of fun talking to you. And if your kid needs some more words, you know, just tell me and I can email him.
That sounds great. Thanks a lot, Lewis.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.